Good morning and welcome back to another edition of Biz Talk. We're glad you joined us this morning on this deer hunting opening day. My name is Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer. Good morning, Randy.
Good morning, Tony, and good morning to all those of you out there. If you're out on your stand, just take a couple minutes and sit back and relax, and just we'll talk business for a little while.
Yep, we've got a really good show this morning. Our guest is attorney Pat Furman from Epiphany Law. Epiphany Law is one of the sponsors for Biz Talk, and we're going to be talking about succession planning this morning. How do you transfer a business from father to son or to the next owner, a group of employees? What are the considerations? So please stay tuned. We'll be talking to Pat in just a few minutes. We first want to tell you about the SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. Our SCORE chapter is located in the Chamber Building on Superior Street in Appleton. We are about 40 volunteers strong. We offer free mentoring to business owners and those who are looking to start a business. Our service area, we cover 8 counties from Appleton down through Oshkosh into Fond du Lac. And it's all free. We are trained, experienced mentors in areas of marketing, IT, strategic planning, banking, cash flow, accounting, HR, all kinds of different topics. Yep. And we will team up with each other to help you with your business situation or your business opportunity. You can reach us at foxcities.score.org. Please send us an email. Learn about our website, learn about our services, and you can sign up for an appointment right on that website. All you have to do is fill in a little bit of information, hit the send button, and probably within 2-3 days, a mentor will be contacting you to arrange a meeting either at your place of business or perhaps at a coffee shop.
And one of the most important things to do, when you do ask for a mentor, there's a little box there that says type of counseling requested. Be as specific as you can, because that way we can match you up with the person who best meets your needs and really, you know, help you succeed.
Exactly. If you have a question in marketing, for example, indicate that on that little box, and you're going to be teamed up with a marketing mentor.
Yeah, who knows? You could get stuck with me. Who knows?
Randy's a good marketing mentor, and so we'll help you out with that. Foxcities.score.org. Our phone number is 734-7101 if you'd like to contact us. Now, in addition to doing the mentoring, SCORE also does a number of seminars, and we have educational services throughout the year. And we have an exciting, pretty relevant topic coming up on December 11th. Here in Appleton. Randy, tell us about what's coming up. What's happening on that? What's the name of that seminar?
Okay, for those of you who probably have been out at the deer stand too long and have forgot what's going on, one of the most active questions right now is the Affordable Health Care Act called Obamacare. The Affordable Health Care Act is on everybody's mind, and so what we're going to be doing is a 3-hour presentation on December 11th called the Affordable Health Care Act Today, and how to apply the act to both small businesses and individuals. Mm-hmm. We're going to have 3 very, very good speakers with us. The first is going to be Linda Heinz. She is the principal member of Employee Benefits Administration Services. Linda has a very extensive background in working with group health benefits. She is a compliance instructor, as well as having at least 11 years of experience in this particular position.
She's also an expert in the IRS tax code. She's nationally acclaimed as working with small business owners and helping them deal with issues just like this. She's coming in from Ellsworth, Wisconsin.
Right, and
out on the Minnesota border.
Right. This is going to be a non-political presentation.
Right.
What we're going to be doing is dealing with the facts, and she will be our keynote speaker. Now, in addition to Linda, we're also going to have John Ulness. John is the owner of Ulness Health Insurance Wellness here in the Fox Cities. He, again, has about 12 years of experience in individual health care questions and has been working very closely trying to help people get onto the websites to get registered and so on through the various programs, and can help us understand, again, some of the effects on the individual.
And John is one of the people I've known over the last couple of years who has really – he's taken a lead on understanding what the health care bill is all about. He read it over and over again.
Yeah.
And he served on the governor's insurance program as the state was considering should they set up an exchange or not.
Right. And then finally, we're also going to have Kurt Haling. Kurt is from Albertson Haling CPAs, and Kurt is going to give us an accountant's approach to some of the things that the health care program affects. In other words, how some of your financial planning, I should say your business plan, should reflect the costs and so on that are going to be involved in this program and try to help you kind of put this into your long-term business plan.
And with all that really good information, Randy, we want everyone to understand that this Obama healthcare matter is constantly evolving and changing.
Correct.
So stay tuned.
Right.
But we want to provide this, SCORE wants to provide you with this information at this time to try to get your bearings on that big sea of confusion so you know which direction to go with your business.
Right. And once again, it's going to be on December the 11th. That is a Wednesday. It's going to be held out at the Bordini Center, the Venture Center out at UW.
Fox Valley
Tech. At the Fox Valley Tech. Thank you. The cost per person is $25, and we would ask that you register on the SCORE website. So if you go out to www.foxcities.score.org and register, we will get you all set up on that particular program.
It's going to be well worth it. It's going to be very informative, and the first hour and a half of that 3 hours are the presentations by the speakers. The second hour and a half is going to be a panel discussion.
That's
so
right.
We'll have questions. You can ask the panelists questions.
Right.
And we're even inviting people who sign up. If you'd like to sign up and you want to ask a question when you sign up, please send us the question so we can kind of give the speakers and the panelists an idea of where they're going, where they should go to answer your question in the group.
That's great.
So again, that's December 11th, $25, 7:30 at the Bordini Center. We hope you can make it.
Okay, right. And please register as soon as possible.
Yep.
We do have limited seating, so be sure you're there.
So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. We'll meet Pat Furman from Epiphany Law, and we'll start a conversation on succession planning. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
If I were a rich man, yabba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dibba-dum, all day long I biddy-biddy-bum, if I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard.
We wouldn't have to work hard, Randy, if we were just wealthy men.
Right, but no, our job at SCORE is to help you get to be wealthy.
But so. Would it be as much fun?
Oh, gosh, no.
It would be. It's really a lot of fun working with SCORE. And by the way, if there's anyone listening out there who would like to be a SCORE mentor and would like to give back and help and join the SCORE chapter, please give us a call at 734-7101, 734-7101. Or shoot us an email at the website through foxcities.score.org, because we're always looking for some mentors, especially in the Fond du Lac market where we're
Absolutely.
Trying to revive things
yep.
down there. We've got, what, six or seven mentors?
We've got six down there right yeah. now, but and we're also looking for people kind of a little bit to the west of that if you're over in Washera County or Green Lake or Marquette counties.
Yep.
So
yeah, we're having a lot of fun, and we're having a Christmas dinner on December 5th. So if anybody's interested in attending as a volunteer mentor, we'd be very welcome to have you join us on December 5th at Mark's Eastside. So
okay.
With that, we're going to meet Pat Furman this morning. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning.
Welcome to the program this morning. And Pat's an attorney with Epiphany Law. Pat, tell us a little bit about yourself. What does Epiphany Law do, and where are we going?
Well, Epiphany Law is a boutique law firm. We specialize in a few things. We think we do them well, and that's why it's limited to those.
You don't do injury cases. You're not doing divorces or anything like that. Just business law.
Correct. Just yep. business law and estate planning. No family law, no personal injury, no criminal law. It's specifically limited to the business world and estate planning.
Sure. What is your background as an attorney, Pat?
Have about 15 years of experience. Been in the area of estate planning for most of those 15 years, and I've been with Epiphany for a short time, since about the beginning of this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've been on Biz Talk before, I think.
Correct.
A couple months ago,
mm-hmm.
last
yep.
quarter, I think
yep.
you were a guest, and
yes.
that was a good show. So welcome back.
Thank you.
You're a veteran now.
Yes, I got Fiddler on the Roof coming in at the beginning.
Yeah. How many attorneys does Epiphany have?
We have five attorneys. Okay. Basically, how it breaks down is I'm almost exclusively estate planning.
Okay.
Kevin Eisman, Katie Blum, they are the two partners. They're mostly business, but they also do estate planning. Val Revenue is specifically works with small businesses and all aspects of their business. Mm-hmm. And Chris Snyder does the litigation arm, any kind of business litigation that there would be.
Epiphany also does some intellectual property law as well, right?
Correct. Chris does that area. He also does immigration, because that does come up in business matters.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to be talking this morning about succession planning. That's something right down your alley. What is succession planning, Pat? What is a business owner looking at when they're considering succession planning?
Well, most businesses, you get started, you try to build them up. Everybody's, wants to have the businesses that's successful. Basically, at some point, you're not going to be running that business anymore. It has to go to someone else. And all succession planning is working out that plan so that that business gets to who you want it to get to in the best way for it to be managed, the best tax consequences, the easiest for the family, that provides some sort of financial stream that keeps you at the same position.
Mm-hmm. Well, those are all very important considerations because, as we know, LLCs or corporations live longer than human beings do. They just never die.
Correct.
Unless they go bankrupt or something.
Correct.
So making sure that the company stays healthy, sustains itself, not only for the family and the owners, but there is a fiduciary responsibility of the owner to the employees who are working there and those families. Because if through reckless management, they are significantly impacted.
Correct. You spend your whole life building this up, and if there's no succession plan in place, it could fall apart in a matter of weeks. And all the people that you've been caring for, employees, it could destroy their financial well-being also.
Before we take this break, there are two reasons to plan. There's planned succession, and then there's unplanned succession.
Correct.
You want to quickly describe the two, and then we'll take a break and come back and go into more detail on that.
Sure. I mean, planned would be you sit down with advisors, you work out steps that get you from one point to the other in the best way. The unplanned is,
surprise.
Something happens, catastrophic, and you're calling somebody up and saying, please fix this problem. We have a nightmare on our hands. So
yeah, we're going to take a quick break right now. We'll come back on the other side. We'll give you the phone numbers. We really encourage you to call in with some questions this morning. We've got an expert here in the studio, and we can address those questions. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.
You never give me your money. You only give me your funny paper. You break down.
That's great music, Vicki. Thank you. We're here this morning with Pat Furman, an attorney with an expertise in estate planning with Epiphany Law, and we're talking about succession. And if you have a question for Pat, please give us a call at 281-1150, 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, you can reach us on a TDS Metricom toll-free line, 866-887-1150.
Okay.
So, Pat, where do we start? When do we start planning?
The earlier, the better.
Okay.
If you wait, generally the events will dictate what you're going to be doing instead of you dictating,
we can
what's
going to
happen.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay, and when you do decide, okay, we're talking about planning. So when we're talking about planning, we should be talking about some kind of a process. What do you see? What are the steps? What is the process that we should follow when it comes to sitting down, like you said, as early as possible? I usually recommend to my clients that the day before you open the doors is a good time to do this. But what kind of process would you follow?
First of all, determining possibly when you want to get out. That's different from each individual. It might just be a certain age or a certain amount of money you've made, or, you know, that somebody that's in the family, has reached a certain point where they can take over for you. Or looking at it from, you know, what life might give you, you know, you're going to get out at the point where obviously you would pass away. That goes without saying, but a disability, something of that nature. Determining it at that point, you know, what time frame, what events are going to, you know, bring on the change. And then the other part would be obviously when that happens, who is the business going to go to? Could be family members, if it's a family mm-hmm. business. It could be to some sort of business broker. Could be to a competitor.
Maybe the employees.
You know, if that may be doable also to sell it to the employees. So determining who it's going to go to is also the second important step.
Once you have an idea of who you're thinking about passing this on to, one of the questions is communication.
Correct.
I've heard there's some nightmares about this. How would you how do you suggest you move to that step?
Probably the first, if it's within the family, possibly it's already being discussed off and on. Employees is always tough because you might not want to have certain confidential information floating around the floor, but that might be a little bit more problematic. But let's assume it's within the family. A good way to kind of get all those out is, if you have the family come into the office and you discuss some of the issues, some of the problems that might be there, get that dialogue, you know, started in the right direction. Mm-hmm. Might not all be solved in one meeting, but at least that dialogue is going along. Again, like I said, if it's with third parties, it might be between representatives, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. But, with the family, get them in there, actually start talking to one another.
Because one of the things I'm getting at on that too is that the assumption that, Junior's going to want to follow in Dad's footsteps. And you had said when we were talking off air a little bit about this is something that happens on farms a lot, mm-hmm. is that you think that the rest of the family's going to want to stay there. And it turns out it doesn't mm-hmm. work. Or, and I've heard cases of this where you've had a key man who you really want to be involved. And you sit down and talk to the person and say, you know, okay, John, it's yours. And John says, I don't want it. I'm here. I'm putting in my time and I'm getting out of here before you do. So, how do you cope with that? You gotta make sure, right?
Well, when you said communication, probably the number one communication is whether the person actually wants to do it. It sounds obvious, but in a lot of cases, it will be my son's going to take over this business that I mm-hmm. built up, or my daughter, or all my kids are going to work together.
Yeah.
And they may have different hopes and dreams in running the family business.
Okay.
And that is a major sticking point sometimes, where children maybe possibly feel obligated to mm-hmm. continue it. And you guys know, running a business when your whole heart and mind isn't in it is, you know, not going to work very well.
That's work. That's work.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pat, when someone is looking at starting this process, they may have an idea, as you were talking about, and Randy mentioned, that they have this hope or this objective, but they don't communicate it. Well, in order to make that system more fluid and more successful, they should really sit down and talk to an advisor. I would think they'd want to talk to someone like you. You do right. this work for other companies.
Yeah.
You can talk to the owner of the company or the husband and wife of the owners of the company, and you can tell them the things they need to consider and coach them through this process. I think that's a very informed start for someone who wants to start this planning process.
Yeah, you know, kind
of. Don't do it alone. Just don't do it alone.
Right. It kind of warns you to some of the landmines that might be out there, some of the potential problems. Once those issues are being taken care of, you know, then you can really start the actual process where you're bringing in, you know, accountants, financial advisors, all those things that help, you know, make the process complete, make it whole.
Mm-hmm. And this process can't be conducted in 1 year. It's unreasonable, I think. It probably could, but it's probably more practical to do it over a number of years and let the different thoughts come out and the community give it time to ripen and everyone's in agreement, because not everyone's in agreement on these things.
Right. And, you know,
start early enough.
Yeah. You know, sometimes you try to rush it and then decisions are made that aren't really thought through, or they're not advisable.
Okay. When you're putting together this, you know, you decided who. So we started with the when you're going to do this. We've got the who. And now we're going to get down to the how you do it. And Tony just alluded to that. Who do you need on that team?
Always
good. Of the professionals.
Correct. The business owner that is selling the property is obviously, you know, giving up an income stream or something of that nature. So you would want to have their financial advisor involved so that they could say, you know, this is what they have to live off of. This is what they need for retirement. You'd want an accountant due to the fact that there are, you know, both sides going to be tax issues. Mm-hmm. You also want, you know, if insurance is going to be used to fund the sale, then you would want an insurance salesman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were even kind of talking back there before about, you know, having somebody, you know, that psychologically can help with the process.
Did you mention the banker?
We didn't.
No, and the banker,
banker's
yes.
got to be there too. So, okay.
Because they can help fund and that structure and transition a lot of this
money.
Okay. Pat,
money.
We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
You have a question for Pat?
Yes. I would like to narrate a hypothetical, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
I'm currently a corporation incorporated in the state of Wisconsin. I have four children. The children have now come to a point of saying, yes, we are interested in the business. Is it appropriate to, in preparation for this buyout by the children or the gifting to the children, to change the corporation to an S-corp?
And why are you changing it to an S-corp? What's the thinking behind that?
The thinking being that we would be in preparation for our income tax liabilities under each individual as opposed to a corporation.
Okay, so you're looking more from changing it from that kind of double taxation as a C-corp to making it an S-corp where the individuals will be taxed.
That is correct.
Some of it might depend on the individuals involved and, you know, whether that works out better for them. I mean, if you could always pay, you know, less taxes, that's always better, obviously.
That's my point and my question.
Yes. Generally, I would say that you're probably going to pay less in taxes with an S corp.
And that's more of an accounting financial question than
correct.
A legal question.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
It's a generally speaking, an S-corp is going to make it tax-wise a little bit better for you.
Yeah, everything flows through the personal tax return.
Correct.
That's a good question, Tom. Thank you.
Pat, you're welcome.
Just following on that, is the difficulty, though, would be going backward from a C-corp down to, or I shouldn't say down, but back over to an S-corp, you could end up with a lot of legal work necessary. I mean, I can see you're smiling.
Yeah. that's what we like. It's the, part of it is, you know, when you have a certain type of structure for a corporation and then you decide, well, we're going to make it into something else, you are kind of, you know, turning the ship around. And you have to, you know, kind of do everything over again. Right. There could be tax consequences to actually changing the status of the corporation.
From a legal perspective and an accounting perspective, there's more impact from the accounting side changing from C to S or S to C than there is from the legal side.
Correct.
I mean, that's really, that's what drives the decision.
Yes.
Because legally, you're still going to have the protection of the corporation or the S-corp or the LLC, but it's a tax-driven financial consideration primarily. That's,
right.
That's where most of the difference is.
Right.
That was a great question. We just don't have an accountant here this to answer the question.
Thank you very much, Tom, for that one. That was a good question. Moving along on the things that we've been following on. Okay, we've got a plan. We've got who's involved. We're working on how to get it done. We get it ready to go. How often should we review this plan? I mean, is it something you just get done and put on the shelf?
Well, like in estate planning, some people do that. You know, you've sat down, you've done all the hard work, and it gets put aside and it collects dust until, you know, whenever the event happens, everybody pulls it out, sees what's in there. Always good. In estate plan, we always have, you know, overall estate plans, we like people to look at them at least every 5 years. I always like, you know, with, if there's a, been a death in the family, a birth, somebody gets married, somebody gets divorced. With a succession plan, it might be advisable that that becomes part of an annual review. Where you're sitting down, you take a look at it, just make sure where the business is, the assumptions that were made in creating that, you know, that succession plan.
As the cash flow guy, we look at budgets every year. And I agree with you, Pat, that it would be prudent to just, you're looking at your budget every year, take a look at that succession planning. Develop a little metric checklist of what events might cause you to want to make some changes or something. Plan for that. But take a look at it every year. That only helps the owners of the company consider certain influential changes they might have to consider, but it gives the people who are the successees, the ones who are taking over the company, the opportunity to talk about things that changed in their lives.
Correct.
Because we don't always know as owners that, well, the kids are all happy and everything, and we're just assuming that, but maybe something changed in one of their lives, and we should sit down as a group and review the succession plan and see what it is.
Yeah.
Now, another consideration, a question I have for you is the succession plan. First, I'm going to give out the phone number again. Okay. We have to give out the phone number, 281-1150, 281-1150 if you're in Appleton, or if you're in the outside Appleton, 866-887-1150. So, Pat, here's a question. The succession has taken place. Mom and Dad have given it to the kids. And there's an arrangement where Mom and Dad will stay on as a consultant or an advisor or an employee or whatever for a while. And then we're always doing a transition of assets, as you pointed out earlier, and management.
Correct, yeah.
So when do Mom and Dad leave? That should be defined in there someplace, shouldn't it? I mean, it's among, for every group it's different, but you've got to have that defined.
Right. Hopefully they leave before the child stops speaking to them.
Exactly.
But that should, yeah, that actually should be, you know, something that.
Understood anyway.
Yeah. I mean, a working knowledge of, you know, Dad's going to, or Mom is going to be there in the first year or in the first 6 months or whatever to help with management problems, you know, getting accustomed to it. And then maybe at that point they move to a consultant, you know, by phone, you know, far away, another state or something like that. But it's, you know, and it's going to be different for every family.
It is.
But, it's probably, again, one of those issues that should come up that, you know, how much oversight is there going to be?
And having said that, some families don't even need to have it written down. They get along so well.
Yes.
Other families would probably have to have it written down because that's what they're going to rely on.
Yes.
And it's all from A to Z. Who knows? It's up to your family to make that determination.
Right. And every succession plan, like every estate plan is different. You know, your succession plan is not going to be the same as a competitor's or your neighbor's or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. And we keep saying the same thing, and that's the, you know, this being a succession plan. Mm-hmm. This is part of the business plan, part of the operating agreements that you have, and therefore has to be a working document, something that everybody has agreed on. That's why when we're talking about the reviews, just like you have to review the business plan, you have to review your operating agreements, you have to incorporate the succession plan into those documents. It's actually a living part.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to apply it. We're going to take our last break right now, Pat. We'll come back on the other side for the final segment. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY. And welcome back to our final segment this morning. We're here with Pat Furman of Epiphany Law. Pat is an estate planning attorney, and we've been talking about succession planning, and we've been covering different areas, different considerations for folks out there who own businesses. Pat, what is it, how important is FAIR in this whole process of succession planning and sitting down with the kids or the employees? It's not FAIR. This is FAIR. He's getting more than I'm getting. She's getting more. How important is FAIR?
The million-dollar question, because... Yeah. FAIR is sometimes relative to the situation. If you have a son or daughter that's been maybe working in the company and taking, you know, less paycheck, with the understanding they're going to take over the business someday, it's not really FAIR to, you know, not sell it to them. But the other children may say it's not FAIR that he's getting the business. So it is one of the difficult questions to answer, and I don't know if there's the magic answer for it.
Call on King Solomon.
Yes.
If questions like this are coming up, we haven't asked you to do this, but can you give us, how do we get in touch with you? How do we contact, Epiphany?
Oh, you could call us, at, 996-0000.
Great phone number. What was that again?
996-0000. And, that's 920 area code, obviously. And, we are located up off of the Ballard exit on Lightning Drive. It's like the second roundabout there.
You have a website?
We have a website. It's epiphanylaw.com.
Okay.
And, or you can, you know, contact us on our emails.
You know, great. So yeah, because we got these questions. We were just touching a little bit as you're going along there. You know, we're talking about the good things you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do them. What are some of the bad things that could happen if you don't do it?
Well, if you try to not plan for succession, generally the courts will be involved.
Okay.
The IRS can come.
Talk about FAIR.
Yeah. Come and call in. Yeah. And, you're going to be talking about delays. It's going to be forced upon you. It could end up in a liquidation.
Much more costly.
Correct. You may not have anyone.
Who's control of the company?
Yeah. You know, who's taking it over at that point, is really going to just be whoever you appointed to be a personal representative or a trustee. And they may have no business acumen at all.
Mm-hmm. Even as simple as in your LLC papers, in your,
correct.
To put the proper person as being in charge in the event. I think we talked about this once before, about having it set as manager, and having a person designated as that position, as opposed to not putting that in there and the bad things that can happen.
It's always good to even have, you know, you have that manager that's going to be running it, but, you know, what happens if that person can't serve as manager anymore?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is difficult sometimes when you have a kind of a sole LLC.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's difficult for a wife or a child on the spur of the moment because of death or something like that to step in and try to run a company because, you know, they might even be qualified to do that.
Well, Pat, we've been talking this morning about succession planning, mom and dad, leaving the company to the kids, planning for it, being in control of that process or having it dictated to us. You're an estate planning attorney. That's really your strength, and this is such a big part of that. How would you summarize our conversation this morning?
Well, you have a business. Start a succession plan early so that all those pieces are in order. Another key component of it is to make sure your estate planning is up to date. Powers of attorney, things of that nature. If you become disabled during this process, you'll want somebody that's going to be able to act for you, act for the company, and things of that nature. So it is kind of a holistic approach to making sure everything's in place, starting early and updating it as appropriate.
and then reviewing it regularly, updating
yes.
it, reviewing it, taking a look at it, and keeping it, like Randy mentioned earlier, keep the lines of communication open.
Right.
Don't ever shut those off.
Right, because life tends to throw you curveballs along the way.
And for example, a long-term company may have two or three children in the family, and all of a sudden an employee starts becoming a pretty important factor mm-hmm. in the success of this succession plan.
Correct.
And now the siblings have to accept the fact that maybe this key employee is going to be one of the heirs of the business.
Right. And, you know, that's, you know, can cause jealousies, shots to the egos, but that employee might be the reason why it's successful and the reason why it's going to be successful down the line.
Mm-hmm. A lot of dynamics taking place in succession planning among families, and a lot of time emotion gets in the way. And people like you, Pat, I think are very helpful in helping to dispel and quell some of those concerns and talk your way through it.
We try.
We leave a biz tip this morning for us. You have a biz tip?
Start early. You know, whatever you're doing, just start it early because that gives you time to adapt.
Like they say, plan early and plan often.
Plan early and often.
Okay.
Thanks for being our guest this morning, Pat. It was very informative. Appreciate having you on the program.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for coming back. Randy, you got something going on Northland Avenue on Black Friday, and you're not starting at 2 in the morning.
No, we're not starting at 2 in the morning, but I want you to think about it because it's going to be a very short Christmas season coming up, and the Y Service Club is going to be having their annual Christmas tree sale. We'll be starting at noon at the parking lot at Festival Foods beginning on November 29th. And we'd remind you to get out there early.
Yeah, they go fast.
We got a lot of trees, but they go very fast.
Are you going to be in your Christmas tree costume?
No, I'm not going to be.
The one that's all lit up?
Not at this time.
Well, you should be.
Okay.
At 4 in the morning before the sun comes up.
Right. No, but just a reminder, come on out. We'll be opening at noon as far as sales are concerned. All of the proceeds go to help the Y.
That's wonderful
cause. It's a great cause.
You do good work, Randy. Thanks.
Okay.
I also want to remind the audience that next week our guest is Todd Hansen. Of the incubator.
Catalyst Performance Group.
Yes. And he's going to talk to us about financing opportunities and about his incubator on Richmond Street. So stay tuned next week. We enjoyed having you back this week. We were badger bumped last weekend, but we don't see any more coming. So we'll talk to you again next week. You're listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY.